What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Hot Shots. I'm Jedi. With me always is Houdini and D-Paul. What's poppin', boys?
How we doing, boys? Good start to the 2024 year.
Hello, gentlemen. Happy New Year. Great to see you, as always.
Haven't seen you since last year.
It's been so long, Jedi.
I'm just joking. I hate when anybody does that. That's like
one. Let me say that. All right. So I get to work from remotely. It's a blessing. I have to go into the office once a week. All right. I go in every Tuesday. All right. And I knew this was going to happen, especially the day after New Year. I'm not kidding you. 15 different people gave like that. Oh man, I haven't seen you since last year. It's like if I would put the over under, I would have been like 10, and it just got blown out of the water.
No. Pause. If you ever think about doing that, just stop yourself and think about what you're doing. Nobody likes you.
Just say Happy New Year, all right? Just say Happy New Year, all right? There's nothing wrong with that.
How many days after January 1st are you allowed to say Happy New Year?
Two. Today's the cutoff. It is it's January 2nd. Yeah, today's the cutoff. It's done tomorrow morning. We're already established into 2024. It's over.
I'll give you at least 5 days. At least five. I'll even give you a week. One whole week. New Year. It only happens once a year.
Yeah, I give you 12 fucking hours. If I don't hear from you by 1
that's
p.m.
noon the next day.
Yeah, noon the next day. I'll give you 13 hours. I'll give you till 1 p.m. If I don't hear you by 1 p.m., don't wish me a happy fucking New Year. And on top of that, if you wish me a happy New Year, I'm just saying you too. I fucking hate saying Happy New Year. Like, it's the most depressing shit in the world. I hope you guys understand that. Congratulations, you're one more year closer to the grave. Yay.
Oh, Dina.
Well, let's brighten our spirits a little bit and play a little quick game. Who am I? You got 30 seconds. Go.
Girl or guy?
Guy.
Are you active or retired?
I am active.
What sport?
Football.
Are you a quarterback?
Nope.
College or pro?
College. Hmm.
Did you play in the college football playoff?
This year, no.
Are you on Georgia?
I am.
Stetson Bennett.
Nope.
Who's the quarterback now? Oh, he's not a quarterback.
What do you mean?
Offense or defense?
Neither.
Oh, it's the dude with the glasses, the Rex Specs, the kicker.
Nope.
Oh, Blankenship, Rodrigo Blankenship.
Nope.
Damn. He's the coach.
Kirby Smart.
I am Kirby Smart.
Yeah.
Nice, babe.
Down to the wire there.
Yeah, boy.
Forgot his name was Kirby. How did I forget that?
Kirby Smart.
Probably the best player on Super Smash Brothers, in my opinion.
There's no other way to put it, though. Kirby Smart, head coach for the Georgia Bulldogs, played FSU this weekend. Florida State got absolutely shellacked, obliterated, bamboozled by Georgia in the Orange Bowl, and could quite possibly go down as the most embarrassing loss in college sports. Can we just all take a moment and use one word to describe this historic defeat for the Florida State Seminoles? I will start with disgrace.
Expected.
I'm going to say unfortunate. And the reason why I'm saying that is they had 29 players opt out. 29.
I didn't realize that until recently. Yep.
Yeah. 29 scholarship players opt out. Now,
that's a problem.
Right. For one of two reasons. They got fucked over and they were pissed. And then obviously the second reason is the NFL draft. But for what? You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing on the line. Georgia played the game like it meant something. And I think they came out to prove a point that if they were in this thing, they're probably favored in every fucking game that they play. And to be honest with you, I don't know if you're going to talk about this later, but I think they roll every team that's in that thing.
Dino, you bring up a good point. I think now is a good time for a little quick 5 second moment of silence because it was very embarrassing, especially as a Noles fan. Deepaw, you too. You're a Noles fan too. So we'll take a 5 second moment of silence.
Moment of silence is supposed to be sacred for a death.
Yeah, they died. They died on that field, dude.
They died on the field. Honestly, it might sound a little harsh, but I just think that you can't make such a big deal about not getting into the college football playoff and then play against Georgia like that. I know some players sat out, but still. What was the score? It was like 63-3 or something like that.
But think about just that pure number. That's just depth. And you're going against arguably the most talented and deepest team in college football in probably the last couple of years. Maybe a couple Alabama teams would be up there. But yeah, it's kind of that's way too many players to field a competitive team. And even if it's not your starters, you're still starting a guy. I believe it was his first start. Like, going against that defense.
I mean, do the simple math. How many guys are on that roster?
I think, what is it, 85 or 80 scholarship players or something like that? It was basically like a third of the roster, I thought, yeah.
Think about how many players on Georgia backups that would start on another Division I football team. But because they're at Georgia, right. So you have a bunch of young guys that got spot time this year going up against Florida State's second, maybe third string guys who didn't play a snap all year.
And got thrown into that. Yeah.
And got thrown into that, right? Like, it wasn't a surprise Georgia covered the over by themselves. Everyone talked about Florida State's defense, blah, 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 blah.
You called that.
With who they didn't have play, they had no shot. Now, having said that, I disagree. If I'm a player, I disagree with the idea of sitting out. I think it's cowardice. I don't want to say it's – I mean, I'll just say it. I think it's pussy shit, to be honest with you. Like, I don't – if I'm playing for my boys and we're raising hell about us getting shafted, I'm playing in that game to prove a point. And they chose not to do it.
You see,
my wife just brought this up recently too. And she was it was because we were watching the Ohio State game, and it was Marvin Harrison Jr. And obviously probably most talented player in football right now coming into the draft. All the offenses basically ran through him, and Ohio State, I think, put up 3 points against Missouri. But she was kind of talking about that. And my point was, if you're the top 1% of those players, I understand it. It's a purely financial decision. Even if you take out one of those large insurance policies for $5-10 million, that's still less than one contract you would receive in the NFL. So yes, you do get money out of that. I'm talking about the very top players. There's other 28 or 29 players at Florida State. Those guys probably aren't first round draft picks. So yeah, you might be getting ready for the NFL, but you can still put out good tape against arguably the best football program in the country.
And that's where I think the missed opportunity is for me, is if you're a third, fourth round guy, and you're right, flying all over the field, making every play, every other tackle. You know what I mean? Like,
right,
I'm climbing up somebody's draft board. So you opted not to do that. Okay, then this is the problem with college football for me. And thank God they're going to the 12 teams next year, because when we're doing that bowl pick'ems, it's almost pointless. Like, you're shooting in the dark. Like, you got to Google, like, who's sitting out in this game.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I'm not a huge fan of it. I see both sides, but as a competitor, there's no way I'm sitting out. Like, if the two of you are like, I'm playing, I'm playing.
Yeah.
It's a sticky situation for sure. I think that the players were just thrown into an uncomfortable situation that nobody wanted to be in for sure. I get it, though, that I can't name the players off the top of my head that, like, sat out because there was a lot. But I'm sure some of them were looking forward and are anticipating on getting drafted this year. And let me tell you, if some kids, that's their dream, they don't want to mess that up over some meaningless game, I guess, in their eyes. But if they did end up playing those 29 players that did sit out, Georgia still wins this by a landslide. I mean, Knowles didn't have really a shot.
It would have been more competitive. It wouldn't have been a blowout, but I think everybody in America knew, even though I took them in our bowl pick, I think that was more of a pride thing. With 21, I think 21 points was, they weren't winning that game.
And that was the point of what I was trying to tell you guys. If Travis is healthy, that team is completely different. Their quarterbacks that they have are atrocious. And it's obvious because they go out and they land a fifth-year senior in the portal. Or is he a fifth-year senior? I think he's a fifth-year senior.
I don't know if he's fifth, but he does have 1 year left.
He's got 1 year left?
Yeah, so he's got 1 year eligibility.
Yeah, so it just shows you the confidence level they have in that quarterback room. If they're going out spending X amount of dollars on a transfer portal quarterback.
I mean, so Houdini, you know, brings us our next topic up, though. I mean, where does FSU go from here? They have a lot of players that are actually leaving that already went into the transfer portal. You have some guys that are going and declaring to go to the NFL draft. This team is going to look vastly different next year. They did get a new QB. I'm not even going to try to pronounce his last name. We'll just call him DJU for these purposes. But he's in line to replace Jordan Travis, played for Oregon State last year. The 2 years prior to that, he played for Clemson. Is this their guy?
It's got to be.
Yeah, he had a big bounce back year transferring from Clemson. You know, he was the heir apparent to Trevor Lawrence, arguably one of the most polished prospects coming out of college at the quarterback position. So there was a lot of hype, and he was a player of the year for whatever state he was in. He was a hell of a ball player, but really struggled at Clemson. Had a great bounce back year this year at Oregon State. I think he's going to do really, really well with Mike Norvell in that offense. So as far as plugging in any player in the country, probably the best quarterback on the transfer portal, in my opinion.
You know, I still think that FSU competes for the ACC in the ACC next year because, you know, Miami is just always going to be Miami and never really live up to anything. And I think that they get by Louisville. I think that they compete. But do you think that FSU will ever get out of the ACC? A few weeks ago, it was a huge conversation. It's going to cost them about $572 million just to leave. And they want out badly. Let that be put on the record. It looks like it won't happen. But they're for sure going to make a try at it.
Comment on what you were talking about before. They do land 22 commits for the 24 class, in which it's good enough for 10th in the country. So as for bringing in high school talent, that's good. Are they going to stick with high school players? I doubt it. Right? They've already shown that they're going to go through the portal. So they'll land a couple guys through the portal that were probably playing at mid-majors. They're going to take a step up. As for the ACC conversation, the Big Ten, and this is where the shift really happens, right?
The Big Ten West, baby.
Yeah, Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State. Obviously, you have like your Michigan States, all that stuff. But you're going to have USC, UCLA, Oregon, and Washington joining that. You want to talk about an absolute powerhouse. Not only to mention, you already have
the SEC. That's a conference, bro.
Yeah, you already have the SEC, which now you're adding Oklahoma and Texas, which this is what has been being teased in college football for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Now it's going to shift over to basketball and baseball and all that stuff. But when you start looking at like the NCAA realignments, it's strictly because of this Florida State situation where your strength of schedule, your wins against ranked opponents, all that stuff really matters. So if you're not playing in a conference that is respected, you have to go into a conference, even if that means you take it on the chin for 4 or 5 years. That's what you have to do. So looking forward at these conferences, with it going to 12 teams, you may not see a mid-major in there at all.
Do you think that eventually maybe some bigger teams will go to the ACC? You still have Florida State. Duke is there. Miami's there. Will they recruit to try to make the ACC a powerhouse one day? Or is the ACC just going to obliterate itself eventually?
It's why the ACC is the weakest conference, Jedi, is purely about their TV deal. The ACC network sucks, and it doesn't bring in nearly as much revenue as the other big networks do. So immediately you're getting way less money. And in this day and age with TV rights deals and sports deals exceeding billions and billions of dollars, it's all about cash. That's what all this crazy realignment is. And they have, you know, the smallest gun at the table, per se. Like they don't have any bargaining power with all these big teams.
Well, that about wraps our conversation up for Florida State. Georgia, congrats on absolutely obliterating the Seminoles. So both semifinals games, the Rose Bowl and the Sugar Bowl, were everything that college football fans could have wanted. They were close games and competitive. We didn't get a TCU situation. Let's start with the Texas and Washington game. What a finish, Houdini. You were talking about it before. Texas played their hearts out down to the final play, literally. And at one point, I thought that Texas was going to win this game. Quinn Ewers played his heart out. We don't know if he's going to be back next year. People said that he was going to declare for the draft, but he hasn't done that yet. But thoughts on the game, though?
I thought it was a prime example of how to lose a football game. watching Washington execute in the remaining 3.5 minutes was painful to watch. The touchdown that pulls Texas within six happens kind of quick. They get a 3-and-out, a fair catch interference on a punt, lumps 15 yards on with like 50 seconds to go. Huge penalty in which I'm sitting here watching. Like, I have no – like, I honestly would have been blown away. And I got to a point where I was just rooting for Texas naturally because it's like, you're going to throw this game away. Like, you're literally going to throw this game away. And it was in the bag. Anyone that thought it was at 36-24, the game was over, most people went to bed. And the last 3.5 minutes was – yeah.
I went to bed.
And the last 3.5 minutes was insane. And to be honest with you, if yours goes out, I think his draft stock dropped last night. I do think the keys are for Archie Manning to take over, though.
So I think you're right, Dino. Malik Murphy's already entered the transfer portal. I just don't see Quinn Ewers coming back. I just feel like it would create a big controversy. And how many years is he, what, have one more year left maybe? So I'd be shocked if he comes back and there isn't a huge controversy with Arch sitting behind him.
The last play of the game, I'm sure both of you watched it. That was a wild finish, man. I still can't get over that. What a play by the dude on Washington. I don't know what his name is, but props to him.
Hell of a defensive play.
Yeah, but Quinn Ewers, though, I mentioned it before, we don't know exactly if he's going to go to the NFL draft. It is kind of expected, but who knows? He can come back. Where does that leave Archie Manning? He was supposed to take over after Ewers left, but if he comes back, Archie's probably going to maybe sit out another year. Do you think that he ends up leaving?
If he sits?
Yes.
If Ewers comes back? Did he redshirted this year, D-Paul?
No, he played.
He played, yeah.
He played like two snaps.
Yeah, and I have to brush up on the rules on that. I don't know if he can still take a redshirt, like technically, mm-hmm. if like you don't hit the snap requirement or something, or however many games you played in. But it's absolutely going to cause a controversy. If Quinn Ewers comes back and there's a quarterback controversy, at least a large portion of the fan base is going to want to go to Arch right there.
So he can still technically count it as a redshirt. You can compete up to four games while still maintaining redshirt eligibility. So he can. So
he'll end up getting a redshirt year, yeah.
I don't know. Like, you saw Ewers at the press conference before, sitting there by himself, and all the reporters were over there at Archie's table. So I do think
– were they really?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It was bad. It looked like it was a bad look.
it was like 35, 40 reporters in front of Arch's table, and Ewers was just sitting over there just looking.
They were asking the same questions that we're asking right now. Personally, wow. I'm going to say that he actually ends up staying. I don't think that he leaves. He wanted to be there. He says that he likes it there. Look, I know that obviously he's not going to say that he doesn't like it there publicly, but I actually believe him. I know that he likes the QB development program there, and I just don't think that he's going anywhere. He still will play his junior and senior year. He'll go into the NFL. Like, I mean, I don't see why he would leave.
I think Ewers has 1 year left.
He does.
Yeah, I think he has only one, unless he took a redshirt at Ohio State, because he also did not meet the requirement, met the requirement.
Ewers has been hurt every single year he's played, too. So even if he does come back and loses out of competition, he's probably going to get some spin anyway, at least at some point.
Yeah, I don't know if his stock is higher than it is now. So if he gets picked in the fourth or fifth round, he'll be a backup somewhere. You got to take
it. I was going to say, he reminds me of like a Sam Howell type player. And I'm not just saying that because you're a Commanders fan, but like they're very similar in my opinion. I think he was like fifth round too, Sam Howell.
Yeah, I think it was fourth or fifth.
Yeah. But like he's not going to be, you know, he's going to be a depth quarterback, maybe a camp signing and, you know, maybe make it on a roster somewhere.
Now, the game that was definitely the most exciting game, in my opinion, was the Michigan and Alabama game. Nick Saban and Roll Tide went down fighting hard till the very end, but Michigan walked away victorious 27-20. What a ride for this Michigan team. I mean, can we appreciate this for a second? People have said that they were overrated all year. They had a huge cheating scandal during the season, went out and took down the SEC Alabama Crimson Tide, and now have a shot to win a national championship.
It's a hell of a ride. I'm still not sold on them.
Really?
I'm not.
So they're favored a lot right saying. Now.
I know they're heavily favored right now.
Are they really? What's the line at?
It's like 7.5. It's like plus 150 Washington right now.
Wow.
I think they're like minus 225 or minus 200 or something like that. But
wow.
Look, hell of a game. Let me start with that. Their defense is really good. But Tommy Reese's play call for Alabama, last play of the game, after both teams use a timeout, is the stupidest fucking play call I've ever seen in my life.
I was curious if you're going to bring this up. Have you seen the video from the rear end zone? Milroe misreads that play. Yes, he went straight in the A gap and he's the bust that out to the C gap. He's walking touchdown, not even touch.
Yes, but because the snap is low, he kind of loses his balance.
Yeah,
he's kind of forced to go straight in, and I think he kicks. Like I think he just runs directly into his right guard. His left guard's like back,
just straight calf. Into him. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So yes, if it works, I'm not sitting here saying he's a fucking idiot, but it didn't, and it got blown up. So
yeah, man.
Sports is 2020, and this is a 2020 year. It's a fucking bad call. Just let the kid work. He can manipulate a play any way he wants. If he wants to get it on his feet, he's going to give it a shot anyway.
It is. It's an interesting play call when you have a roster as talented as Alabama. Let your players play. Put more than one – put the ball in his hand to make a play with one of your receivers too.
It's just I thought the play call was so bad.
It was a great game. And
it was hell of a game.
What do you think is the worst special teams blunder? I guess, you know, it goes either way. But that muffed the muff punt return by Michigan there at the end too? It could have been disastrous.
So, I'm glad you brought that up because I almost forgot it. But you had a month to prepare for this game, and there was bad football all over the fucking place. There was good. Don't get me wrong. A lot of great football went on yesterday, but a lot of bad football went on too that could have lost you the game. The Michigan guy, who I don't even want to say his name because I don't want to embarrass the kid. If he's on a scholarship, you should probably take it away. But all I'm saying is
that's what he texted me, Jenna.
He set up at the 10-yard line.
Yeah.
You're in a tie ball game against Alabama. If you have to backpedal, let it go. You're not going to be the one that blows the game. Even if it sticks on the one, who gives a shit? You didn't blow it.
Yeah.
But he muffs it. And when he picks up this ball, he might be on the 6-inch line.
Maybe.
And has three absolute animals coming after him. The fact that he even got that ball out is a miracle. And if that's the way the game ended, holy shit.
But it was wild.
But both teams won. That's
the crazy part, right?
Yeah. But if gun to my head, which one's worse? It's the Washington play. Protecting a lead and the guy calls a fair catch, like you don't even need to go anywhere close to him.
Now, Michigan's quarterback JJ McCarthy, I'm just curious, do you both think that he is overrated or a glorified quarterback?
I think he's a program. I think he's a system quarterback.
See what his head coach had to say about him. He said that he was the best quarterback Michigan has ever had in their program history.
I'm shocked that he said that. And he's not saying like he's better than Tom Brady because that's Brady. He's saying like at Michigan, like when they were at Michigan. And I still think that's wild that he said that. I don't agree with him. I think he's talented. I think he can make plays, but I watched a decent amount of Big Ten football this year. There's been a bunch of games where he threw for like 100 yards or like Kenny Pickett type numbers, like not great offensive numbers. So miss me with that shit, Jim.
How hard is it to just put it? He's one of the best quarterbacks to ever play at Michigan. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean?
Do you think it was like a slip on his part of a little verbal slip? He meant to say one of, I mean, it's just two simple words and you know, he's in the moment.
No. I think he loves his players. Okay. I think he's a hell of a coach. I think he's 100% going to the Chargers because I don't think the NCAA is done with him. So it's like Jordan Belfort and fucking Wolf of Wall Street, right? Like he's dipping. He's actually leaving. So the NCAA doesn't come after him. And when Harbaugh goes to the Chargers, Michigan better give the head coaching job to Sharon Moore, however you pronounce it, because he 100% deserves it. It's the exact same situation when Brian Kelly left Notre Dame. They gave it to Marcus Freeman. That program will be fine. But to say that J.J. McCarthy, and I really like J.J. McCarthy until I heard his post-game speech. Like, literally, guy sounds like he's on cloud nine. And I'm sure he was.
I didn't hear it.
Yeah, to be fair, didn't he lose to TCU last year?
They did.
Yeah, it was him.
They did. At the Rose Bowl. It was like 52-49 or something. It was wild, yeah.
Yeah, at the Rose Bowl.
Oh, on a missed field goal.
I don't remember. Jeez. It doesn't matter. I'm pretty sure that he played TCU.
No, that was Ohio State.
That was Ohio State, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he's a system quarterback. I don't think he's that good. I do think he throws a nice ball, but I don't think he's that good. And that's so,
he's talented, but like you put like it's an NFL defense he's playing with and an NFL offensive line. Like, yeah, you're gonna look good.
And you have a legit amount of playmakers. And the fourth and two call, what is it, right? It's miscommunication on the back end. It's a 7-yard throw, and the dude goes off for like 45 yards, in which there's a block, an illegal block in the back for no reason. Sets them back 15 yards. It was just, I don't know, man. I don't know. You had a month to prepare. And that's what I'm saying is, like, looking forward, those are two teams that have made mistakes. And think about how different that game is if Bama's cornerback's foot isn't barely on the sideline to start that game. You get off to a 7-0 start by Bama and, oh, roll tide.
I mean, I think that his defense helped him a lot, more than people probably give him credit for. He is talented, though. D-Paul, you did mention that. I do think that he is talented, but I don't want to throw the word overrated at him necessarily, maybe slightly overrated. But if he wins and brings a natty to Michigan, my opinion completely changes, because you win, you win. But transitioning back even over to Alabama, though, did you guys see this? This is pretty funny. Alabama player Dallas Turner said that he's not returning to Roll Tide next year, and he made it known. He declared the NFL draft about 5 minutes after the loss to Michigan. He started yelling in the locker room, "I'm gone. Ain't no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I'm out of here."
Really? Like, even if you're saying that as a joking manner, yeah, that's going to piss off a lot of people. And maybe he's probably not liked in the locker room if he's doing that shit 5 minutes after a heartbreaking loss. Yeah. What a scumbag.
Couldn't wait until the next morning. Just maybe 10 minutes. What
a scumbag.
10 minutes after the game.
Scumbag scale. I want to hear. I need a scumbag scale.
What a scumbag.
You know, there's been a lot of scumbags, but this definitely is not like the biggest scumbag. We've graded some things that are pretty scumbag-ish. So I'm going to give it like a 7-2.
That's pretty high. And I was going to go high as well. I was going to say 7-7, because if I was his teammate, I'm going to punch him square in the face.
It's in the sevens for sure. It's in the sevens, absolutely.
If this does still need to be asked, though, I don't know if it's a redundant question, but did Alabama belong in the college football playoff? And if Georgia, obviously the team that would have replaced them is Georgia, not FSU in this scenario that we're talking about. If Georgia was in the college football playoff, would they have beaten Michigan?
This is such a hard question. Yes, Bama belonged. They beat Michigan they beat Georgia and then had Michigan on the ropes. So 100% they belong.
Yeah, I agree.
However, if Georgia's in, I think they handle Michigan by 10. And I think they blow the doors off of Washington or Texas. That's how good I think Georgia is.
It is, yeah. When they're a really good team, and when you kind of sit back and think about it and reflect on it, yeah, they probably should have been in. And it is a little shocking that, yes, even though they lost the SEC championship, they still didn't get in. You know, they were the number one team or I guess Ohio State was number one for a little bit too, but they were clearly one of the best four teams in the country all year. I do think they beat Michigan.
I think D-Paul,
I think you said it a while back. If Bama plays them 10 times, they beat them once.
Yeah, like they just happened to hit it.
Yeah, this is like some Tony Stark, like Doctor Strange, like one chance out of like 2 million. Like this, that's the one chance.
That sport. That's why it's so beautiful. The game's not played on paper, like the one in a million, all the cliches. Like you can play it a million times, but just that one time and you happen to be on it.
Yeah. But Michigan and Washington is going to be in competing for a national championship. Personally, I think this is the best matchup that we could have gotten. What do you think?
I agree. I think it's offense versus defense. I think Penix is an absolute monster, and the Skins have the second overall pick. And in my mind, I know there's talks already that they want to trade up to take Caleb Williams. I would not. I would take Penix. And I know he's a lefty, and it's rare. And the last best weird lefty throwing quarterback, motion. Yeah. The top two lefties that come to mind, or this is probably like three good lefties in the last like 20 years, right? And you're looking at like Mark Brunell, you know what I mean? Michael Vick and Tua. Right, those are like the only three. There's only two in the NFL right now. So,
who's the other one? Tua and who else?
He's a backup in Seattle. There's only two in the entire league.
Oh, third string. Okay.
So when I'm looking at it, like I really like Penix. So you're looking at primo offense versus primo defense. If the game gets into a shootout, Michigan's in trouble.
Yeah, Michigan is not designed to put up points like Washington, and doesn't have the ability to do that either. They have the talent, but just the way the team is built, they can't have quick strike touchdowns like Washington can. Penix throws one of the nicest deep balls I've ever seen. He really pushes the ball vertically. It's great. A little unorthodox, but it gets where it needs to go. And they throw touchdowns, so that's what matters. You're exactly right. Offense versus defense. I think Washington takes it, man. I'm a little shocked by that line. I think it turns into a shootout. You know, you can look at it either way. Either Michigan got a wake-up call, or that's what Michigan looks like whenever they have a month to prepare for a game. And in this case, it's just a week, but you know, they're focused on one game and everything's leading up to it.
It's going to be a really good game. I think it's going to be a really close game. What are your guys' picks for this game? I'll go first. I do think that Michigan is going to walk away as a national champion. I just think everything's on their side right now. They are favored in this game, but we talk about defense a lot with a lot of sports. Washington's defense just isn't as good as Michigan's. They're allowing more than twice as many points per game.
Gun to my head against the spread, Washington to cover the 7.5. Straight up, this is easily the best defense he has faced all year. I don't know how Penix does against an elite defense. Not a good defense, not a great defense. I'm talking about a fucking elite defense.
There's a lot of NFL players on that defense.
Straight up, I side on Michigan's side here. I don't think the points will come as easy as they did the last 4 or 5 weeks of the year.
The first quarter is going to be a big indicator here. I think if Washington can score on their first or second drive, I think it completely changes the game. If they go get shut out in the first quarter and really start to struggle in the second, I think it's one of those grinded out Michigan style games, which is exactly what Michigan wants you to do. I'm kind of with you, Dean, almost to a T, but I think Washington has a legitimate chance to win this game. So like on your money line bet, if Michigan doesn't get their act together offensively and can only put up 14, 17-ish points, I think Washington can score that against that. Even though it's a great defense, I think they can at least put up 3 touchdowns-ish in that 24-point range.
Yeah, it's kind of like if the game's under 40 points, Michigan wins. If it's over 40, I think it's Washington.
I think that's a great indicator right there. Exactly. But, you know, I was just thinking about this too. Do you know where Michael Penix Jr. played before he played at Washington?
I have no idea.
Jedi?
Indiana. I saw this, but I don't know. That's
So he's used to playing Michigan. He's played them, and I believe this is Penix's last year too. So I follow Rutgers football as well. So I've watched a lot of Penix Jr. and Indiana football, unfortunately. Always super talented. He's seen them at least 3 or 4 times in his career already.
He's a 6-year senior.
I don't know if he ever beat them. I thought he did. But I think he came really close with Michigan a couple times. Okay. I don't know if he ever got that dub. Indiana had a couple of days. I gave Ohio State a scare, Michigan a scare a couple times.
People forget. This guy's about to be 24 years old.
That's what I'm saying.
This is a grown-ass man. He's played 6 years.
That's a red shirt and a medical red shirt. Yep.
Yeah. Well, in the COVID year.
Well, let the anticipation begin. That'll be on January 8th. This next Monday, we'll find out. Drop in the comments who you think is going to win the game. Who's your pick? Do you disagree or agree with us? Let us know. But before we get out of here, though, Houdini, what's your final thought?
My final thought is actually movie related.
Okay.
I sat down today and I rented Oppenheimer for $5.99 on demand. And I rewatched it. When did the Oscars come out?
February.
February?
Normally. Mm. Unless it was pushed back.
You got a best actor in there.
I'm going to go on record right now. Cillian Murphy wins best actor 2024.
Wow.
Hands down. And you know what? I'm going to look up the live betting because I think I'm going to try and find a website that bets
this. Can you actually bet this?
Yeah. Hold on. Let me find out. Hold on. Best actor betting.
The Oscars this year are March 10th, 2024.
Okay.
Of course, at the Dolby.
So 2 months.
Nominations are announced in a few days, actually, January 23rd.
All right. So, yeah, he's even money right now. He's 1-1 odds for him to win it. But I'm not just going to stop Cillian Murphy. I think Christopher Nolan wins best actor or best director for this film. I think Hans Zimmer wins best score. I think it is almost a clean sweep of the Oscars. The killer of
best supporting actress.
I disagree. I think that Oppenheimer was the best film this year, in my opinion. But I think that the things that they're going to be going up against, the Killer of the Flower Moon, Martin Scorsese's movie, I know that's going to be up there. Barbie came out. Barbie was a huge, huge hit. You got to think that that's going to be a big competitor. It is. I'm letting you know.
Barbenheimer, baby.
No, I understand that, but it's hard for me to wrap my head around Nolan, Scorsese, Cillian Murphy.
Personally, I'm not disagreeing DiCaprio. With you. I'm just saying.
Fucking Barbie?
I'm not disagreeing with you personally. I'm just saying that you have to put that in consideration that Barbie is heavily loved by a lot of these voters and by the people.
If Love Actually or whatever the shit that was, or Shakespeare in Love could beat Saving Private Ryan, anything can happen.
I do think Oppenheimer absolutely kills it. Like I said, when I rewatched it, you just gained so much appreciation for how well that movie was done. But I also watched the prequel to The Hunger Games. Mm-hmm. And Deepal, I believe you're the one that told me you haven't seen all of them.
Correct. Yeah, you said it was awesome. Yes.
Jedi, I'm interested to hear your take. If you had to score it, what would you get? What?
I didn't see the prequel to The Hunger Games. I don't see. Let me explain something to you. I don't watch movies in the movie theater anymore when I can get it for free on HBO Max later in probably a few weeks from now.
I almost punched.
Does HBO still have like a lot of those? Get a lot of those movies, Jedi?
Yes, and one of the movies that just went on the other day, Priscilla, that it was on Amazon Prime, the movie that was about Priscilla Presley. Didn't go to the movie theater to see that because, look, now it's free.
I haven't seen Oppenheimer yet, but I legitimately got a sitter for the weekend or for Saturday, and I'm watching Oppenheimer. So I'm going down to the basement, I'm putting on the surround sound, and I'm blasting that shit. I'm so hyped.
I'm glad, but I feel like
I tried changing the subject for you, but didn't work.
I feel like you're young.
Get me wrong. I love a good time at the movie theaters. I'm just not paying $30 to go watch a movie I can see for free in 2 weeks.
Why are you paying $30? What fucking movie theater are you going to?
You got to lay down. You got to get the popcorn. You got to get the extended chairs that go back. Has to be on IMAX when it's really not, and they lie to you. And there's only actually 20 theaters in the country that actually have it.
Not true. I went to Cinemark down near me. They had it, but
matter of fact, the only one is like right near my house, which is pretty cool. In your house.
Okay. So I'm just letting you know, when I go to the movie theater, I pay for the tickets. That's it. I bring a small bag in my own popcorn, my own candy, my own drink. You know what I mean? And I watch my movie. I'm not giving them the movie theater popcorn's ass. I want movie theater.
I will say that's the only popcorn I'll eat.
No, movie theater pop secret?
Well, no, I mean, kettle corn, but that's in a different category. But no, movie popcorn over home popcorn, movie theater popcorn.
Go get pop secret right fucking now.
No.
Movie theater
pop secret's trash, Dean.
Anyway, If you haven't seen the Hunger Games prequel, it was really good. And I gave that movie like a 7.7. But I give Oppenheimer like a 9.1.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. I can't wait.
You know what movie I just watched just real quickly for the first time? And I am now on like a Liam Neeson kick and a Gerard Butler kick.
Gerard
Butler? I don't know what his name is. But hey.
Jared.
I thought his name was Gerard Butler. I thought his name was Gerald. Gerald Butler. All right. Well, anyway, he's in London Has Fallen, if you still haven't picked up what we're talking about. And Liam Neeson, I hope you know who that is if you're listening. Taken. Fantastic.
Stop.
Wait, hold on. You know, when he said Liam Neeson, I swear to God, I was going to say, I hope this mother effer doesn't say Taken. And he said Taken. I watched
all three within a 24-hour window.
The first one is good.
The first one's amazing. All three of them are pretty good.
No.
The first one's amazing. All three of them, though, I was hooked.
I can't get past the premises, man. Other than the first one, it can't happen to the same guy, man.
When I say it's good, I want to clarify something. It's a 6.4. So it's good for that genre.
Exactly. Overall? Yes. Yes. Overall, no, that's the way I'm looking at it.
Okay. Gerard Butler, his best movie is Law Abiding Citizen. And then after that, it's 300. The rest of the shit he's in, it's just like.
London Has Fallen. White House Has Fallen. Olympus Has Fallen.
Dumb.
No, those are the great movies. Morgan Freeman as president.
How many fucking cities
too.
Are falling?
It's an action movie. It's good. It is for what it is. For dumb, Last Seen Alive on Netflix.
For dumb, pointless action movie, it's perfect.
Exactly. That's what you get with an action movie, though. You're not getting like some like crazy story. Like Taken is a one of one type of kind.
But there's no shot. I'm paying money to go to a movie theater watch a type of movie like that.
I wouldn't. No. I watch them all.
That's one that shows up on Netflix a couple years later, and you watch.
Correct.
Yeah. Or in his case, fucking 15 years later.
Maybe. You also have to put this in perspective. That movie came out, what, 2008? So I was like,
I was in high school, bro.
I was 7 years old. What's 7 years old going to see Taken?
You should watch it. Prepare yourself for when you go study abroad.
Dino.
Fun fact, she doesn't study abroad. She just goes for a visit in Paris with her friend. Get it right.
Okay. Talk about irresponsibility as a parent.
Jedi corrects you. She was actually going on a U2 world tour.
Dude, it's like, how does this movie start? Oh, because the parents suck. Why is Home Alone a movie? Because the parents suck. And then the parents come back and save the day, and you're like, yay. No, let's analyze how shitty of a fucking parenting decision that was to let your daughter, who is a smoke show, go to Europe by herself. And then meet up with some guy, so what? She can get tranquilized or fucking roofied.
Tranquilized.
You know what I mean? What the fuck are we talking about, dude? The movie's ass. And then, as she's running, let me just go hide under this bed. Go jump out the window.
I will say, yeah, it was like five stories. It's mind blowing how smart the movie was, and that's what I appreciated about it. Where he was like, describe everything on the phone of what this person looks like.
I still can't get over it. It's the first time.
Yeah, and then also, too, that scene where he's like, I will find you. I have a special set of skills, and I will kill you.
You're quoting this fucking movie 15 years after it's past its prime, dude.
It was good.
Jedi, just for a certain demographic, a.k.a. my Dino's age, it's just like, yeah, we know. We watched it a million times.
I probably will get a rewatch within the next, like, week. No shot. I'll probably watch it again.
I watched that movie twice, once on my own, once because my dad was like, you gotta see this movie. But I'll never watch that movie again. I think they're the most overrated movies in the world. I think Liam Neeson has one good movie. If you can name it, I'll give you $100 cash.
Nonstop.
Once again, ass.
That was a decent movie. Liam Neeson? Don't say Phantom of the Menace. Oh my gosh.
Nope.
Star Wars?
Nope.
I don't know if I want to just stay this. We might be here for a while.
I don't know. Yeah, I'll text
Schindler's
it to you.
List.
No, it's a simple answer. He was best in Ted.
I don't even remember him in Ted. Is he in the second one or the first? No. You don't even know. Okay.
I think hold on. It's when Ted's working at the grocery store, so it's got to be the second one.
The second one. Oh, yeah. Yes, he is in it. Yeah, I remember now.
He tries to buy Trix, and he asks if Trix are specifically for kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I got, dude.
If you ever need to keep up to date with your sports news or want to hear some cool rankings and Hot Shots Podcast will always be the place for you. So subscribe and follow to all of our platforms at Hot Shots Podcast. But until then, we will talk to you next time.